Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome to the podcast. I'm Billy, and I'm coming to you from the wonderfully wood-paneled walls of the Hawthorne Manor Studio. So how's everybody's summer going? Mine's been okay. A lot of projects at home. I haven't really done anything yet, but I love the weather. Well, besides last week, that was a little damn hot. So I'm sorry for the hiatus. I didn't realize when I started this thing how much work it is to keep a steady podcast going. But I'll get to them. As long as you guys are listening, I'll keep making them. So on this episode, I'll let you know what I've been listening to, and we'll do Vintage Wax, and we'll also be talking on the phone to guitarist Wayne Johnson about his new solo album called Atomic Tsunami. So let's do this shit. So what's everybody been listening to? I know I've heard a ton of stuff. Some of it's new, some of it's new to me, and just stuff I'm listening to. Here's one that is new that I'm excited about. It features vocalist John Arch, probably my favorite singer ever. There's like no one who sings and phrases his words quite like this guy. He was the original vocalist in Fate's Warning, and when he was let go in 1987 and left the music business, I thought that we have truly lost a great talent. But he started doing more projects again around 2003 with some of his old band members. And this new album is called Winter Ethereal by Arch Mathias, and it features five different drummers, as well as some Fate's Warning alumni, as well as members of Armored Saint, Death and Cynic. Check it out. And then there's this new project called Sweet Oblivion, which former Queensryche singer Jeff Tate is a part of. Sounds like a modern Rage for Order. And here's prosthetic recording artist All Hell from their new album, The Witch's Grail. I love the chords they play and their old school style.
Yeah.
And here is a band from South Wales called Buffalo Summer from their album Second Sun. They're a hard rock and bluesy band, so you want to get this record and get in your car, put the windows down, and crank it up. Listening to the Billy Hawthorne Podcast. Check out the show page on Facebook or follow me on Twitter at Billy Podcast.
Vintage Wax! Vintage Wax!
So this portion of the show is dedicated to the vinyl people. This time we're checking out the Sweet Freedom album by Uriah Heep. They have so many great albums that it was hard to pick one, so let's check it out. So this record was released by Warner Brothers in 1973, and it features the classic lineup of Mick Box on guitar, Ken Hensley on the keys, Gary Thane on bass, Lee Kerslake on drums, and the amazing David Byron on the vocals.
You are to me.
You might recognize Lee Kerslake's name because he played drums on the first two Ozzy Osbourne solo albums, along with Bob Daisley and Randy Rhoads.
Didn't I tell ya everything was gonna be alright? The game that I chose to play, but remember I can lose as fast as I want one day.
And of course this album contains one of their most known songs, Stealin'. If you haven't heard this song, you must have been living under a rock or something. Anyway, if you're out vinyl shopping and you happen to come across this album, it would be great for your record collection.
But my life.
As I promised, the one and only Wayne Johnson, and he's got this awesome new record called Atomic Tsunami. What's up, Wayne?
What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Checking out this record, you know.
Are you digging it?
I'm liking it, man. It's great. It has a lot of sounds. Did you play much guitar on it?
Oh, well. It was maybe a few notes here and there. Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to hear that. I went and got it right away. So who else played on this with you?
On drums, it was Brandon Wagner.
Uh-huh.
And he also recorded everything too. And on keyboards on one track called Chill was a fella named Danny Tanner.
Oh, cool.
And he's amazing.
Definitely. And it's great, man. So what kind of gear, what guitars did you use on this record?
I used almost everything that I have, which is about 20 guitars.
Wow.
It was like electric wise, it was the weird thing is, like when you have a bunch, you kind of still kind of gravitate to kind of like your favorites.
Right.
But then you also have the ones that kind of excel, like in the studio, there were the few that excelled really well. So they kind of did like the majority of the rhythm stuff. Like my old 84 Charvel San Dimas did
Oh, yes.
The majority of, like, all the rhythm tracks for the six-string stuff. And for all the majority of the leads was this custom guitar built by Ben Baker for me.
Oh, cool.
And, oh, yeah, that thing does everything. But then everything else kind of like kind of filled in, like, you know, doing like little pieces here and there, different sounds.
Yeah.
Stuff that the guitars themselves kind of excel at, you know, they went into here and there. That's and let's see, seven string wise, I use my my old Ibanez RG, was it the 7621, I think, and then a custom built piece, my seven string Tele, my flying Tele of Destruction.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and that covered, you know, like the bulk of the low stuff.
That's awesome. Is this your first solo album?
No, I've got one before that called North of Nowhere.
Okay.
Which is a 10 song vocal album.
Gotcha.
You know, like hard rock. And but this was the one that, you know, I don't know if most guitar players do it, but, you know, like, you know, when you start playing, you hear, you know, like the instrumental guys, you know, like Vi or Satriani or, you know, Andy Timmons or any of those cats, and you're like,
right,
I wonder if I can pull that off. I wonder if I could do what they do, you know, be able to play a song where the guitar is carrying the melody of everything, and keep it interesting enough to where you just don't, you know, where it doesn't get skipped over really quick.
Right. I think you did a great job, man.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Yeah,
that was awesome. It was one of those, you know, like kind of pit list things, and kind of like a thing of it started like with an idea of like, okay, well, you know, I had three songs, and then it grew to five songs, then it turned to eight songs, and it went to 10 songs, and I was like, all right, I think we got it.
I think we got an album here. How long did it take?
Oh, that one, well, I only really recorded and was in the studio like twice a month. So it was maybe 6 or 7 months I was recording. Yeah, because I'd, you know, I'd go in and just do it like 3 hours at a time, and then come back a few weeks later and do it again.
Yeah, that's cool. If you kept the momentum up, man. It was always hard for me to do that when I'd have to stop and come back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's talking about momentum, like with that, once when Atomic Tsunami was getting ready to get mixed, then I went crazy and recorded a ton of new tracks for a whole bunch of new songs. So I've got like 30 more songs waiting after this.
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait to hear them.
Well, they're, and it's like, you know, it's kind of it's not all the same bag, though. It's like, you know, we've got like a 5-song acoustic EP coming.
Oh, cool.
I just kind of like I think I've got one more mastering session. And this new project called Plateful of Dynamite will be done. That's a 5-song it's kind of like rock, you know, but it's got some different like country flavors maybe thrown into it.
Right on.
But like not like a country album. It's just kind of like Americana with distortion.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like that.
and the songs are fun because they're kind of like tongue in cheek lyrically, you know, a little bit different, you know, not to be all like super serious all the time, but just have a good time and playing around.
Well, that's one thing I liked about this, man. It's like a lot of stuff there, you know, but it all goes together though, I thought.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just, you know, just thinking back on it, you know, like the arrangement of the album and stuff, everything just kind of it dictated its place, you know, and you know, there were times where, during the recording, we had to take a break because Brandon and his family had their second child, so.
Oh, okay.
When we got back into recording, you know, I go in and I'm like, all right, man, you know, I want to do this, 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 and this. And then I listen to the track and I already had done it. And I didn't even remember.
Oh, my.
So I was like, who did that? And he goes, you did. It must be that, you know, that old age starting to creep up on me.
Oh, I hear you. I'm there with you. That's cool, man. But you've been so gracious as to let me play this thing. So I picked out two. It was hard to pick out which two I wanted to play. But let's do this one called Battle Stick. Do you want to set this up? Tell us about this one.
All right, Battle Stick. Nice bit of, if I say groove, it doesn't like match up with like groove metal or anything like that. It just makes you wanna, you know, as Will Smith says, you know, nod your head.
Yeah.
It just makes you move. It's got a cool groove to it, and a, you know, like probably like a really super awesome guitar solo. Not to toot my own horn, but it was like one of those things because in recording it, like, you know, not to deviate too much off of everything else, but I had a rule when I went in to record this, all these songs, and it was, you know, I didn't have everything completely like written out rhythmically.
Mm-hmm.
So, probably 80% of the structure was there. But there were these holes that I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And when I went in, I told him, I was like, I just want it to be like completely inspired right in the moment. And what comes out is what it's going to be.
That's great.
And it was like a big kind of risk, you know, like, you know, I mean, needless to say, like, if it's really bad, we could have stopped and redone it. But the overall plan worked really good. And you can hear, like Battle Stick's a good thing to listen to that and be able to hear the beast waking up, you know.
There you go.
And a battle stick is, in my view, it's a guitar. So,
Well, let's check that bad boy out. This is Wayne Johnson from Atomic Tsunami, Battle Stick. We'll be right back. right, man. That was awesome. So you spent a lot of time, many years in under command. Tell me about those days.
Oh, man. Well, under command was kind of like my first big baby, I guess you could say. My first out like doing like professional recording and then touring and, you know, traveling and everything else. And then, mm-hmm. you know, with all things, you know, there comes another CD, then more traveling, and then another CD, then more traveling. And, it was awesome cycle. During the time. it was good until it got hard, I guess.
Right.
You've been on the road. There's always those moments.
It becomes a job.
Yeah. It's like, but we also traveled with our daughter.
Oh, wow.
My wife was the bass player in the band. So right. we were a family band traveling. So, you know, when we were out playing in clubs, you know, we didn't have a nanny or anything traveling with us. So we were like, we had her with us, like backstage. You know, we were really, really fortunate and blessed because there were folks there that watched her and took care of her when when she was little. She would fall asleep and, you know, they would keep an eye on her and, allow us to be able to do what we needed to do.
Growing up on the road.
Yeah, we did there were a couple shows where she ventured out on stage when she was still little, won't say toddler, but maybe a little bit bigger than a toddler. And we were doing a festival in Louisville, Kentucky. and we were running kind of late. And we got there probably just, the band that was in front of us was on stage. So we had just enough time to stage to get ready to go on. So we're playing and we're having fun. We're just tearing it up. And I'm noticing everybody in the front, in the very front, is looking past us, like kind of at the drums and smiling. And, you know, they're all kind of like laughing, to themselves. And I'm like, so I'm singing and I'm playing and I'm like, I'm getting that like other random thought going in my head, like, what the heck's going on? So I turn around and look, and my daughter had climbed up onto the drum riser and with all her stuffed animals and was shoving them into the hole in the kick drum.
That's awesome.
And every time when the kick drum would go, her hair would blow back.
Oh.
Because before she started doing that, she was literally behind my wife's bass amp playing with her stuffed animals.
Wow.
It's like on stage behind the bass amp. She had this big SWR stack, big thing. And I guess she just got bored and ventured out and said, I'm going to show them in the kick drum, see what happens.
That's awesome.
But it turned into like one of those endearing moments, like one of the things you remember really well.
Oh, yeah. Man, that had to be tough. All I ever had to take care of on the road was drunken band members.
it was good because we were always together.
Uh-huh.
But we would always the drives would be so much. Our shortest drives are usually like about 8 hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So whichever city we would be in, we would tack on another day to be in it before a drive day, and go to the local zoo, have a day for my daughter.
That's great.
For her to do, kid things and family things. We've been to a whole lot of zoos. and then in the summertime, we would, kind of hang at the hotels a little bit longer and just swim and, relax.
That's great. I wish I could have did that. I had to leave everybody behind whenever I went.
Mm.
Yeah. That's cool. So you were talking about some of the music that you've recorded with Under Command.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do in the 30 some songs that I spoke about earlier. Mm-hmm. We're doing a box set where we're putting all of our releases into one package. But it also included in that is a like previously unreleased acoustic CD and a brand new kind of CD, like a five song EP to kind of be the bookend for everything else, you know, to kind of to close it off.
I think that's great, man.
Yeah, because I was looking at them and I'm like, man, it'd be really cool to do this because this year is the 20th anniversary of our very first CD.
Uh-huh.
So we were like, you know, we were like, man, it'd be really cool to kind of do this. So I called up, like, you know, the members of the very first, you know, incarnation.
Right,
first,
right.
You know, version. And, you know, asked, it's like, hey, and it was like, would you be able to record, like, two songs and, you know, whatever. Because I had all the guitar stuff recorded and to a click track, and Brandon did the drums for three of the tunes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it'd be, you know, it's awesome to have songs that are, you know, to close things out, but also it'd be more awesome to have like the original band playing those songs to close things out.
Yes, that's great.
And so, you know, and everybody's like, oh yeah, that would be great, let's do it. And then, you know, getting everyone on the same page wound up being a whole lot more hassled.
That's you know, always fun. Like,
yeah, because now we're spread out over the country. So oh, it's wow. like, you know, it's like, well, you know, we can fly in and we'll do this, we'll do that. So we finally got Steve Saji, our original drummer, he came in and did tracks on two songs. And he's like, and before we would always work on, like, get together and hammer it out. And I told him this time, I was like, man, there's no way possible. I mean, I'm relying on you just to be as awesome as you are and just come in and destroy it. You know, kind of come in, you know, make a statement. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, because, you know, being at, you know, as things are sitting right now, like, this is the very last Under Command recording. Come in, close it out like, you know, like a beast, and, mm-hmm. you know, look back on it and go, yep, there's the front and there's the end. So he came in and he's like, he's needing like knee replacement surgery.
Oh, wow.
And he comes in and just decimates his song, like, in the, you know, like the first song he does it in two takes, and then the second time he nails it in the first take.
Wow.
And I was like, and you're hurting? He goes, well, not really, but, you know, it'll hit me later on.
You feel it later.
Right.
Well, that's cool, he, man, that's great.
Yeah, he played some killer stuff, and I was like, man, this sounds so good. Yeah, and then we have, yeah, you have these conversations. Why do we ever stop? Well, because of this. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've always, there's a few projects that I was involved in. I wish, like, man, what would we sound like now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
But it's like, you know, like you say, we all grew up and grew apart, and we're lucky to get to say hello every now and then. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool, yeah, man.
But he when we did that, I mean, I listened to the tracks. I'm like, man, this, you know, you get that, like, you know, you get the warm fuzzies, but then you get the excitement of like, oh man, this is so amazing. Like, yeah. The playing wise, like, you know, not to, you know, blow any horns, but like the, you know, one of the songs, like, was played in ways that, like, you know, patterns and things that I've never played before.
Wow.
You know, things that, like, you know, in the keys that I never play in. And It was just amazing. I was like, man, this is going to be so cool.
It's always and, great when it works.
Right, right. Yeah, and yeah, because there is still the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I haven't had to live on that side of the coin much.
Right. Do you plan on doing any shows for this record?
For Atomic Tsunami?
Uh-huh.
I joined a date for this tour. May, I think.
Oh.
With these other instrumental guitar players in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, wow.
But it was weird because it was a thing where I had to play the track, so I didn't have a live band behind me, so I had to play the pre-recorded music.
And that was probably tough.
Because when you play with people, you kind of get a little bit of forgiveness, like in a swing of things and stuff, right. And you can kind of improvise more. And I find myself, I improvise a lot sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So having to really stick to, recorded track again, it took probably like a week of practice to get myself in that frame of mind. So I went out with them and did a show with them in Richmond. And it was a cool learning experience. The place, it was a great venue, really cool stage, nice big stage. And the night went well. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to do. I did my thing. I didn't know what else was being planned with the other artists and stuff. But then it's kind of like turned into almost like a thing of like, all right, well, let's, do this like jam on LaGrange at the end. And I was like, you mean like G3, like jam at the end?
Everybody gets together.
On a song that they've recorded. Yeah. I was like, that's kind of bad. That stuck bad with me anyway. I was like, nah, I'll sit this one out. All right.
Well, that's cool when you got to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Had the songs lined up on my, went in like at our studio and removed like the melody track, for the guitar. So I had like everything as it sounds off Atomic Tsunami. I've had all the, like all the rhythms from like right off the album.
Uh-huh.
Wham. And all the harmonies and all the little cool little bings and bongs and bits and pieces still in there.
I just put it
all together like in a little playlist, put it on my iPod, and plugged it into my mixer, and wham, there it was.
That's great. Well, this record, it seems everywhere I've checked it's available, like Spotify and Amazon, mm-hmm. Pandora, iTunes, and so everybody can check it out. Let's do another song from it. This is another one. Like I said, I had a hard time picking a couple. But this one is Decibel. Set that one up for us.
All right. Decibel. Gather around, boys and girls. Decibel. We all know like the abbreviation for it is DB.
Uh-huh.
And that tune came out of like the rhythm to it came out a few years ago. I had to do a guitar clinic, and I had to come up with music to play to. And like the bones of Decibel wind up being that, one of those songs.
Okay.
Now I call it DB or Decibel being DB because when I did it with my brothers, Kevin and Tom DiMaggio, the DiMaggio brothers, DB.
Gotcha.
And I didn't want to not be able to include, their memory of, when we were able to throw that sucker together.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's where the name came from. And the rhythm tracks and stuff. But Kevin, the drummer, had he passed away like about 3 years ago.
Oh man!
And so, like, you know, that one's special to me. Yeah, you know? Right. And so
well, it turned out great.
Yeah, so it's always fun, and as always, it's got a few little surprises in it.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. This one is Decibel. Decibel. Whoa. Awesome. And this whole record, I've listened to it a few times, and it's got a lot of stuff there, you know. Carry Me, that was laid back. I really liked that. That was smooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was I think that one turned out to be a one-take wonder.
Oh, wow.
Like, right, everything was right at the gate. Everything was perfect for their takes, you know.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Funny, too, with the other quieter song on the CD, Chill.
Uh-huh.
I did the scratch track for it, and then let me back up a little bit more. I had it written out, and I was playing it. I was like, yeah, at home. I was like, man, this is just not cutting it. Mm-hmm. So I completely rewrote it to what it is. Like, I think with it, like a two days before I had to go in to record it. So
wow.
I went in and recorded it and put the scratch track down. Well, then I couldn't get it to be as cool when I was doing the real track as the scratch track. So what you're hearing is the scratch track as the, you know, as the meat of the song.
Wow.
So yeah, so all that's, you know, the scratch one take all the way through.
That's great. That came out wonderful, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was listening to it today, actually, and I was like, man, that's pretty cool. It's a challenge too, because when I did it, I put things I guess like in the mix. Like if you listen to it with headphones, you can hear these things kind of like all sprinkled around in the in the field, you know, like it's like, you know, a little guitar doing something over here, a little guitar doing something over here, you know, real quiet, real melodic, but you know, little interesting things. And and I still like to listen for them when I listen to it.
That's cool. Yeah, I want to check it out on headphones. I haven't done that yet.
It'll blow your mind.
Very cool. And it's available everywhere. Are there hard copies of this, or is it all digital?
No, there are. I have CDs that you can get from me. My website is currently under construction. But when it comes back up, it will be you can go to WayneJohnsonOfficial.com. And it'll have that and all my other releases and stuff there too.
That's cool, man.
And the, but if you're looking for, you know, if you're interested in a hard copy, you can email me at crunchhouse, you know, two words, but they're both together and it's spelled out just like you would say it, crunchhouse@gmail.com. Send me $15 and I'll send you a CD.
That's awesome. Yeah, some people are still into their discs.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. But you not only play guitar very well, but I know that you know your way around one pretty well. You work on them. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I have a small shop called Speed Pick Guitar Repair in Bowie, uh-huh. Maryland. And I work on pretty much everything, you know, not just electric guitars, but acoustics, cellos, violins, double basses, you know, the big, huge acoustic bass and mm-hmm. electric basses. I've done some, the electronic drums. I even repair them on very rare occasion. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it covers, you know, I cover a wide range of repair stuff, and even to a point of up to refinishing. You know, we can get a cool new paint job on your old axe if you so desire.
There you go. Make them all new again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, I wish you the best of luck with this record, man. I hope everybody checks it out. I really love it, and for sure, man. Yeah, man. So I appreciate you doing the podcast, man. I'm still new at this, you know. I'm still green.
Well, it sounds like you're well on your way for international syndication.
Oh, there you go. Well, I appreciate it, man. Well, good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. So that was really cool of Wayne to call in. If you like what he does, get a hold of that Atomic Tsunami album and check out Speed Pick Guitar Repair as well. Well, we made it to the end of the show. I thank you all for listening, and thanks for everyone who stopped by the Facebook page and gave it a like. Well, back in the 90s, I played in a band called Blatant Disregard. And I'll leave you with this. From our 1996 EP, Unearthed, this is Sacrifice So Simple.
Is the light inside my head. My stomach breaks on fire. The rubber runs on me. My skull not too tight for the way I tell it. Tonight, take you away from all this. The nice light in tender, gleaming steel. Yeah, yeah. So simple. So simple.
This has been a Hawthorne Manor production.